Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Fred Rincon, Chief of Cerebrovascular Disease at the Farber Institute for Neuroscience and Associate Professor of Neurology and Neurological Surgery at Thomas Jefferson University. Dr. Rincon reflects on the current state of vascular neurology and how technology can play a major role in closing the gaps in stroke care.
My name is Dr. Rincon. I am a neurologist. I work at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia.
What I wanted to ask you about is kind of the value of neurologists and the value specifically of stroke neurologists. Mm-hmm. There's been kind of this growing wave of discussion regarding whether we should train other specialists mm-hmm. to perform stroke interventions, right? So should we be training cardiologists? Should we be training other specialists? So I'd love to know what your thoughts are on that as a stroke neurologist.
Yeah, that's a great question. Stroke neurologists are a commodity right now in the United States. It's very hard to recruit a stroke neurologist, and I say that because I'm the head of the Division of Stroke and Cerebrovascular Disease at my institution, and I've been trying to recruit two vascular neurologists over 2 years. We were able to recruit one, and then we're still recruiting a second one, and I hear from my colleagues that vascular neurologists are a hot commodity right now. They're very difficult to find. And that adds on to the burden of stroke care. So, as you have heard, we're doing more and more interventions. Patients are being brought into comprehensive stroke centers and primary stroke centers for the management of stroke. So we will see more and more activity, more and more burden being placed on these specialists. The value is that they carry the expertise to treat and manage these patients in the hospital. So there's no question, right, that in a comprehensive, multidisciplinary setting, you need a stroke neurologist to be the leader in a stroke program. Having said that, it still exposes a lot of the community and patients to being underserved because the availability of these experts, as I mentioned before, is limited. So can we train other providers to identify and treat stroke patients? The answer is yes, and I don't think why we shouldn't. Taking care of stroke patients, it's simple from the protocol or algorithm perspective. Once you establish a protocol and you follow it, the interventions are streamlined. So can we train non-neurologists? The answer is yes. We have partnered for a long time with our emergency room, emergency department colleagues, and even though it has been a rocky association because of the different ways that we interpret the data, it has been successful. So can emergency room doctors identify and treat patients with stroke? The answer is yes. And now, more and more, you will see that we can actually bring the expertise of the vascular neurologists to those providers that may not be trained in neurology. So I'm talking about telemedicine. So with the increasing use of telemedicine, we are covering and filling the gap for the community in terms of providing the expertise. Of course, the government and the guidelines suggest that a stroke center has to have the input of a stroke neurologist. We're not gonna change that, right? But how can we improve or increase the exposure to the expertise? And the answer is with technology. So telemedicine is probably the answer to it. I'm talking about this jurisdiction, meaning the United States. I don't know how it is in different jurisdictions. I would be in Mexico or in Canada, but I know that in those jurisdictions, telemedicine is also an important part for the delivery of stroke care when you don't have experts available. And it follows a model, for example, that we have seen also in critical care, where we have trained other providers in providing critical care for that first hour that makes a lot of difference, right? And societies have implemented protocols and courses for physicians that are not intensivists that can actually increase the exposure to critical interventions within at least the first hour. And what we're talking about here in stroke is that these interventions are time dependent. So we have up to 4.5 hours, right? And I know that I've been saying we may have to extend the window for some other interventions using technology. Perhaps for that particular decision making, we can use telemedicine or train non-neurologists to participate in a protocol, in a multidisciplinary protocol.
Sure. In terms of technology, yeah. I want to talk about your personal experience in Philadelphia. Do you have experience with any kind of mobile stroke situation? Are you utilizing telemedicine and telestroke on a regular basis?
Yes. So that's an excellent question. So the concept of using mobile stroke units is not new. Started in the 80s, I was in high school, when these big names in neurology nowadays start thinking about linking ambulances with telemedicine or radio to hospitals. And it has evolved. So right now, a couple of studies in Germany, a couple of studies here in the United States have shown that is feasible to use radiology technology in a portable fashion to identify patients with stroke. So the concept is evolved already. Some large academic centers in the U.S. are using it around the clock. My experience at Jefferson, we started our mobile stroke unit program in July of this year. We have seen at least 20 patients in the first month of inception, and we don't have a around-the-clock system yet, but I think this is how everything sort of like evolves. So you start, you believe in the concept, you start introducing transformations or adaptations to your protocol, and you will see that in the future, right? Not having a mobile stroke unit would make no sense. It's like in the cardiac arrest world, not having available AEDs or available by standard CPR, it doesn't make sense in that particular chain of survival. So for a stroke, a mobile stroke unit makes a lot of sense. So more and more academic centers will start using this, and you will see it. That will be like the standard in the years to come.
Sure. And again, I think the mobile stroke unit is just, it's incredible, right? And the technology and what we're capable of doing. But it's really only a feasible thing in larger metro areas, right?
Where it, correct.
The financial side of it balances out, which is significant. So for something that can be more applicable to other areas, especially rural areas where they don't have access to a stroke neurologist, do you think that there needs to be a greater push in terms of just telemedicine technology? Something, again, that's just more accessible?
Yes, there are a couple of epidemiological reports in the literature. The ones that I can quote have been performed in the Carolinas, for example, in South and North Carolina, that have shown an increased mortality rate in the areas that have access to stroke expertise beyond 30 minutes. So it's impressive because the United States is a big country. And if you live far away, more than 30 minutes from a stroke center, and you have a stroke, you're more likely to die. So the only way, right, to fill in those gaps, how do we bring patients that can get access to these interventions, right, is by the use of technology. And it's not just telemedicine. So, of course, mobile stroke units that can connect the patient before he or she hits the emergency department with a vascular neurologist. The transportation times, so like very important. Are we going to use a terrestrial versus an aerial mode of transportation for the patient, which one buys more time? And of course these are cost effective decisions, so you have to think about the expense as well. But when it comes up, talking about outcomes in a stroke, they're really time dependent, so you just have to do it if you really believe in that.
Thanks for listening to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. For more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.